Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. It's hard to believe, but it's been nearly 2 years since David Letterman was the host of The Late Show over on CBS. In May, it'll be 2 years already.
Has it been 2 years since he shaved also?
It's been about 2 years since he shaved. He doesn't give a lot of interviews, but he recently did give an interview with New York Magazine. Jason Nathanson of ABC News is on with us to discuss that very interview. Hi, Jason. How are you?
And I can confirm he still looks like a homeless Santa Claus.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
I miss him.
The beard is still there. And I swear to God, he hasn't cut it since the day he left. That's exactly what it looks
like. Does he say why? Is it just one of those matters of, I don't need to shave anymore? Why would I? Is it one of those?
They get into it a little bit, but he says, let me see if I can find that. I wasn't expecting to get into the beard stuff quite so quickly here.
I'm sorry. That's all right. You do some research, whatever you know. Just let us know.
Let's see. What did they say? No, they make some Walt Whitman jokes, but that's about it. He doesn't get into why exactly he still likes it.
Jason, when Johnny Carson retired from The Tonight Show, he said, you'll see me. I'll do the occasional special. I'll show up on stuff. You'll see me. And then we didn't see him. He stopped showing up on stuff. What was David's reason for doing this interview, and will we see more of him in the future, do you think?
It's weird. We don't really have a reason for why he did the interview, but he does go into stuff that he's been asked to do and why he is or is not doing certain things. You know, he basically says he'd still just like to be fishing, and that's it. He had trouble. It's a wide-ranging interview. He talks about going to a shoe store, a big one of those massive chain shoe stores, and just having severe anxiety about going out in public and trying to do the simplest thing like buying shoelaces. He really has a tough time doing that kind of stuff. So that's hard for him. You can imagine doing any kind of other thing in the showbiz world is also hard for him as well. He said he was offered a cameo on Veep, which he would have loved to have done, but he said he called them up and said, look, it's going to be torture for me. I'm just going to get there and I'm going to ruin your day and your show, so I'm not going to do it. So he has things he wants to do, it sounds like. Maybe some internet stuff. They talk about Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, something like that. He says he doesn't have a problem. If he does something else, it doesn't have to be necessarily on TV. He would embrace streaming, but no concrete ideas of anything he's going to do or if we're going to physically see him in some medium again.
You know, when I thought we'd see him and we didn't, is he was very close with Mary Tyler Moore. He was on her variety show and had her as a frequent guest and really seemed to be very close to Mary Tyler Moore. And when she died a short time ago, I really thought we'd get a big, long statement from him. And I didn't see anything. Did you?
No, I didn't see anything either. And they don't mention that in this article. Again, it's a wide-ranging thing. They do cover a lot of different things. And you would think if that was something he wanted to talk about or bring up, they would. But they didn't talk about that. They talked about Trump quite a bit.
Yeah.
Most of it is about Trump, but not Mary Tyler Moore.
All right, so give us the lowdown on Trump. He is not happy with our current president, is he?
No, he's okay. So they spent a lot of time talking about the various things about Trump. So he said, started off by saying, if he were doing a show right now, it would all be Trump. It would be an hour on Trump. People would say, Dave, that's enough about Trump. We've run out of tape. It's all I'd talk about. I'd be exhausted. He says Trump's the president, and he can lie about anything from the time he wakes up to what he's had for lunch, and he's still the president. I don't get that. I'm tired of people being bewildered about everything he says. We got to stop that and instead figure out ways to protect ourselves from him. We know he's crazy. We got to take care of ourselves here now. And how we take care of ourselves or protect ourselves from him, he says comedy is one way we can do that. Alec Baldwin deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Sadly, he's not going to get it from this president.
Right.
So he was asked to explain that a little more. How do we protect ourselves from Donald Trump through comedy? How does satire protect us? And he says that Trump has such a thin skin that if you keep putting pressure on him, it's going to affect him and eventually he'll implode. And you have to remember, Trump was on Letterman's
frequently.
Show. Yeah, I mean, he was a frequent guest. And in the beginning, it was just kind of, it was fun. They kind of messed around with him a little bit. They messed around with his public persona and larger than life. And he could take a joke at that point. The two of them went at it. And then it started to get a little more contentious. You remember him telling Trump that his ties were made in China and things like that. And Trump's face was not happy then. And then he said, still, though, if he had a show, the one person he'd want to interview who was still living, would be Trump. He'd like to do an hour to an hour and a half with him and basically scold him the whole time.
Although if Donald Trump would talk to David Letterman, I think that would be a pretty great interview.
Oh, you mean a standalone, like a Barbara Walters style?
If Donald Trump would answer questions, I think we'd learn a lot from it.
They got a little bit into the whole Jimmy Fallon thing, which is, you know, a lot of people thought Jimmy Fallon fell down on the job when he interviewed Trump last year, and the basic thing we got out of it was Fallon messing up Trump's hair.
Yeah.
And asked about that and whether or not that was lightweight or if he should have held Trump's feet to the fire at that point. And Letterman wouldn't really get into bashing Fallon. He said he didn't want to do that. But, yeah, he said, you know, it's the job of people to especially in late night, and that's what it's become these days, to try to hold these people accountable. But he noticed that the trend is that in your monologue and in your comedy bits, you do really funny, you attack more, especially when it comes to politics, and you're a little heavier on that. But when it comes to the interviews, that's when you get really light, or that's when most people these days are going really, really light with their interviews.
You know, that Jimmy Fallon is very light in his interviews, and I don't knock him for doing what he does. That's what he does. He wouldn't do an in-depth, serious interview with Donald Trump.
He's got his thing, but, you know, on the other hand, some people would say, well, you're the only ones getting access to these guys at this point. You know, they're not doing all the other shows. They're doing the late night shows to try to improve their image or for whatever reason. So you're helping him by doing that, you know. And so, I mean, Fallon's reputation has not been that of a Jon Stewart, say, or a Colbert. So you're right. He does what he does.
That's probably why Donald Trump agreed to do it.
Sure it is.
Exactly. You pick your spots. You know where you're going to go. At some point, Trump stopped doing Kimmel. He stopped doing Colbert. Did he ever do Colbert?
I don't think he ever did, no.
So he didn't do that, and he goes where he knows he's going to get the best press, and somebody's going to mess up his hair, and that's going to be the story.
Not only did he not do Colbert, but he explained how he turned down Colbert's producers, that they were going after him, and he said, no, I don't want any part of the show. And then Colbert came on and said, we had a meeting, and we said, did any of you ever attempt to get him on? And they all said, no, none of us tried to. So...
You know, and that's interesting. I don't know that I necessarily believe that. That, you know, that's the first thing you're going to try to do in late night. So maybe that's true, maybe not. I don't know. But if Trump were on Colbert, Letterman would not have watched, because he actually says he's never watched the show. He's never watched his old show. He sees a clip every now and then, you know, when it makes it onto the internet, but he's never sat down and watched the show. And in fact, he doesn't watch any of the shows. He did it for so long. He's not up at that time, and he just doesn't care.
That makes sense to me. It really does.
After you live it for so long, you have your fill of it.
And you're done.
Right, I guess so. You know, I remember, Jason, and it's two different events that I think changed David Letterman and the way he did his own show. He never did softball interviews, but he was a little light with the interviews. And then you had September 11th, and then you also had his heart surgery. And I remember after those two things, he came out swinging. Like when he would do an interview, he wasn't holding back anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely changed and saw, you know, I think what was a little more important. And also, I think in that same time period was the birth of his son, which is the most important thing to him right now. I mean, if you go through this article, it's all he talks about and all he loves to do is be a dad, basically. So he wanted to be a little more important and a little less wacky and less of a goofball. But he also talks about how he modeled Carson in the beginning of his career. And Carson, you know, famously never talked about the Vietnam War, never wanted to have anything to do with that kind of political type stuff, because he didn't really want to offend people. He wanted his place to be a refuge from, you would watch the news at 6 o'clock, and then you would get a break from that by watching Carson.
Yeah.
And Letterman talks about how he patterned his show after that for a long time, until a couple things happened, one of them being Monica Lewinsky, which he just, you know, you could not help but be political and do political jokes about that. And then 9/11 happened, and so it wasn't so much jokes about that, but the personality of George W. Bush also lent itself very easily to doing lots of jokes.
Yeah.
So he started to become a lot more political around that time.
does he realize, I hope he realizes, that just as Johnny Carson kind of showed him the way and how to be a late night talk show host, every one of the guys who does it now always points to Letterman and said, that's the guy who was the best at it and who I want to emulate. He realizes that, doesn't he?
They don't get into that here, but I know he's heard that. I don't know if he actually internalizes it because he's so self-deprecating and he's so kind of shy and thinks he's screwing. He's full of just phobias and thinks he's doing everything wrong. So I don't know that he would ever admit that that was the case, that he paved the way for a lot of these guys or that they followed him. I mean, Colbert famously says Letterman started on TV when Colbert started in college. And that's when you start to watch a lot of these late night shows. And
yeah.
So he was extremely formative. But, you know, Letterman being who he is, you know, it's hard enough for him to wake up in the morning and be a parent and do that kind of stuff. So I don't think he'd ever admit to taking that and internalizing that. Hmm.
That's sad after such a long run at being such a funny, wonderful television host that he's... he doesn't believe in himself, and he has no self-confidence. That's sad to me.
Yeah, it is. But he's always kind of been that kind of sad figure, and you could see it on TV. They talk a little bit about some of the when he had to do bits that he didn't really feel comfortable. He didn't look comfortable, like doing some of the stupid pet tricks and things like that. He felt like he was leading a three-ring circus. It wasn't exactly where he wanted to be. He's never really felt comfortable. He's never felt like he was part of the in crowd. He's never felt like he belonged in Hollywood. He always felt like he was an outsider talking to a lot of the guests that he would talk to. And that doesn't go away. It doesn't matter how much success you have, how long you've been on television, that never goes away.
Jason, explain this to me. David Letterman's been off of network TV for 2 years. Jon Stewart has been off of his show, The Daily Show, for roughly 2 years. And yet in those 2 years, they both look like they've aged 5 to 10 years. You would think it'd be the opposite, that the pressure of doing those shows on a daily basis would age you, but it's been retirement that's aging them. How can that be?
Because, I mean, maybe staying in front of the camera keeps you young at the same time.
Oh, maybe.
Well, yeah, you have to look good. You have to shave every day. Now they're just like, you know.
But not just shaving. Just, you know, David's lost most of his hair. Jon Stewart's has gone all gray and white. They just look so much older than just 2 short years ago.
Maybe they stopped coloring their hair.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
and that, there's something to that, and also, you know, when you're on TV, you're wearing makeup. You're all made up. Your hair's all done.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep up with the personal grooming as much. But I think there's also something. There's an energy that comes with being in front of the camera and talking to people, and whether Letterman would admit he was influential or not, people still watched him, and he fed off that. You know, it's kind of like feeding off the blood of when you're a vampire, right? off the blood of young people and taking their energy. I think they did feel that. So, you know, I don't know if that affects their looks or not, but there was something there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's Jason Nathanson of ABC News telling us about the interview with David Letterman that you can find in New York Magazine right now, as a matter of fact. Thanks so much for being here, Jason. Greatly appreciated.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
Okay, you too. I'll take a quick break, and then there's more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.